Hello and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. I'm Mark Peacock. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 16, recorded Thursday, September 29th, 2005. Topics for today: touring in the gaps of your schedule, forced intimacy, everybody wants to share, and, oops, wrong airport. Hey, this week, we're recording in the bathroom of the Stamford, Connecticut Marriott. However, I forgot to pack my Radio Shack condenser mic, so we're back to the old sound quality with the internal iRiver mic. This bathroom is bigger than the last couple I've podcasted from, and also I've started to adjust the level of reverb I'm getting off the tile by slightly opening the bathroom door. I've gotten a couple of notes from folks saying they really like the podcast, but the tile reverb is just a little too much. I've been staying in this hotel off and on probably over the past 7-8 years, and not much has really changed, though it does look like they're upgrading the bathroom a little bit. They've now installed this, or put in this little wooden pallet for the amenities, for the shower, for the shampoo and the conditioner. It looks like they've upgraded the amenities from the old, from the usual baseline Marriott brand amenities to Bath and Body Works amenities. Here I've got the Cool Citrus Basil Moisture Rich Body Lotion, complete with vitamin C and E and aloe vera. I don't know whether to put this on or to drink it. I am feeling a bit better, though. The cold from last week that I picked up on the flight out to San Francisco is still hanging around. It's just sort of moved from my nose to my throat and is now sort of a nagging cough. I'm not sure which one is worse, actually. You know, it's tough to shake these sorts of things, be it a cold or, you know, some sort of, you know, the stuff that just sort of nags on. It's tough to shake it while you're doing a bunch of flying. I thought this was going to be an easy week for me with just a day trip down to St. Louis and then another one out to Detroit. But then all of a sudden I needed to be out here to Stamford. And you know, Stamford, Connecticut is not an easy place to get to. I mean, you know, the closest airport is White Plains. And, you know, trying to get out into White Plains at the last minute is just a brutal plane ticket. And so I ended up triangulating between Newark, LaGuardia, and Detroit before getting home tomorrow night. I've got I got a goofy itinerary next week also. Toledo, Ohio, and Austin, Texas. Don't even ask how that one happened. It was ugly. It all came together today. You know, it makes me think that my simple out and backs to San Francisco aren't so bad after all. Some quick follow-up items. The Scottish band Evangeline that inaugurated our Great Travel Songs feature on podcast number 14 a couple weeks ago with their song Pictures of You. Following up, podcasting seems to have made a quick impact on these guys. Their website had a quick blurb thanking Mark Hunter of the Tartan Podcast and me for playing their music, and as the quote on the website says, resulting in international CD sales and an upsurge in global interest in the band. I'm glad to be a part of that. Their albums are actually now available through iTunes. I'll put the iTunes URL in the show notes. And that's new, and that's nice given the currency exchange rate between buying one of their albums in pound sterling and the exchange rate into the U.S. made it a pretty expensive album. You know, the interesting thing, though, on iTunes, if you hit the biography link from the band's iTunes page, you get a write-up on a four-woman band from New Orleans whose picture looks absolutely nothing like the six Glaswegian guys who stare out at you from the front page of Evangeline's website. However, I have listened to some of the tunes, and they're the right ones. It's the right band, and that's what's important. Alan, a Travel Commons listener in the UK, copied me on a note he sent to Adam Curry using the Evangeline feature in Travel Commons number 14 as an illustration of how podcasting can sell new music. He said that after hearing Pictures of You on our podcast, he visited their website, listened to a sample of their songs available there, and ended up buying two CDs, Beer Talking and The Hard Way, over the web. As a 50-year-old lawyer, he says, somewhat new to this technology, this seemed rather bizarre, almost rather cool, if I can use that word, he said. I'd do an English accent, but it would be really bad. I cannot imagine having come across Evangeline's music ordinarily. So it seems to me this was a good example of what you, Adam, have been talking about on the Daily Source Code, of music on podcasts selling music, which is good for the artists and good for their music labels. So thanks for the note, Alan, and by the way, thanks for the plug for the Travel Commons podcast. As always, thanks to everyone who sends me notes, comments@travelcommons.com, or the folks who have left comments on the Travel Commons website, www.travelcommons.com. Thanks a lot, and keep them coming. First topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, pocket tourism. Alan Marco, who was the guy who told the airplane duct tape repair story in last week's Travel Commons podcast, sent me a link to an editorial in this month's Travel and Leisure magazine where Nancy Novogrod, I'm sure I mispronounced that name, Nancy's the editor, and she, in her editorial, gives a few travel tips based on her experience with business travel. One of her tips is to allow yourself a couple of hours to do something you like, whether it's visiting museums and galleries or shopping. This will help you distinguish between places. Modern offices in Hong Kong, Paris, and LA tend to blend together, and it keeps your enthusiasm for business travel alive. Alan sent this to me because prior to our travel story beer drinking / recording session last week in the Sheraton at Fisherman's Wharf, we were talking about this very topic. Alan, he's an architect by training, gave me an example talking about making time during a trip to Chicago one time to go and do the Frank Lloyd Wright tour in Oak Park, a near-in suburb. And actually, even way back in Travel Commons podcast number 4, I talked really in a very similar vein about the importance of taking advantage of business travel. During that podcast, I talked about sort of stowing the laptop, you know, not working one night, and just taking a walk down the pier at Manhattan Beach, California, and then finding a brew pub. And there was a little bit of a sound-seeing tour that went along with that. However, last week when Alan and I were talking, I did admit to him that I was doing a lousy job recently of following that advice, and it's advice that I've given to folks who've worked for me and done a lot of travel it's advice I've given to folks over a number of years. And, you know, really it's a trade-off. You sort of extend the trip for a little bit of personal time versus a quicker return home to spend with the family. So on Tuesday, I was in downtown St. Louis speaking to some meeting of the Missouri Society of CPAs. It was a favor, and a big one, to a good friend of mine who was the chairman of their annual meeting, and he was in a tight spot for speakers. He reached out to me and asked me a personal favor. Well, after my talk, I walked out of the hotel. Actually, I was looking for a Starbucks for my afternoon espresso shot to be able to push through to the end of the day. And I looked up and I saw the Gateway Arch. You know, I don't know why I was surprised. I mean, I'm in St. Louis, downtown. There's the arch. But I guess I just didn't realize how close I was, how close the hotel was to the riverfront. And, you know, so I ended up walking out of the Starbucks. When I was walking out of the Starbucks with my Doppio espresso, I looked down at my watch. And I had about 45 minutes free until I had to do a conference call. I could go back to the hotel into the speaker's room, catch up on some work, or go tour the arch. I got to tell you, the arch is, I've always been interested in the arch, and I think it's a really neat piece, it's interesting both from an artistic standpoint as well as just an engineering mechanical standpoint. So it's not something I'd make a special trip for, but it is something I'd be willing to walk 15 minutes out of my way for. You know, like I said, the scale just sort of grabs you, and it was really a perfect day to see it. There's that light gray brushed steel against sort of the deep blue sky, and a couple of clouds just add a little contrast. I walked down into the entrance, which is actually underground below the arch for those non-St. Louis. I don't know what, if you're a citizen of St. Louis, I don't know what you call yourself. But anyhow, you walk down, you pass through a metal detector. Now, in this one, I had to take my belt off, but not my shoes. Explain that one to me. But I ended up popping in, found the ticket booth. Now, there were all sorts of ticket options, a movie and a ride up the arch, the ride, plus the movie, plus admission to the Westward Expansion Museum. But, you know, this is pocket tourism. This is touring with a tight time frame. I'm not on a field trip. I walk up to the ticket guy. I just want to go up and down, I said. I must have looked in a hurry. $10, he said. Go to the front of the line, tell them you're single. They should be able to get you on the next tram up. Sure enough, I was headed up the south leg of the arch within 5 minutes. You know, 4 minutes to the top in an incredibly small pod. For folks who haven't been on this thing, it got five people in there, and I think the people get you in there with a shoehorn. But anyhow, got up to the top. I looked out the windows on each side of the arch. They were great views. You know, you're looking at one side, you see sort of the levees and some of the railroad bridges, the river, East St. Louis. You look out the other side, and you see, I don't know exactly what that building is. I think they said it was like the Westward Expansion Memorial or Jefferson Expansion Memorial. It's a cupola building. It's really neat. You get a nice view of St. Louis. I took some pictures with my mobile phone camera, but after about 5 minutes, you know, that was it. You're up there, you look out each side, there's a few windows, take a couple of pictures. I was ready to head down. Again, being single, boom, I got into the next downbound train. 45 minutes after walking out of the Starbucks, I walked out of the arch, happy with my pocket tour, a bit of tourism that I snuck into the gap of my day. I was actually thinking about walking down to the Mississippi River levee. You know, I'm going, hey, I'm on a roll, I'm here, let me go down and see the river. Boom, mobile phone rings. It was my 3:30 conference call. My little bit of tourism hit. It kind of made me enjoy my time in St. Louis. That phone rang, and I was back on the grind again.
Please break my heart. Say it's forever.
Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, please, no more sharing. You know, yesterday afternoon, I threw myself in the back seat of the cab for yet another ride from my house to O'Hare. Cab driver pulled out slowly, as he continued to talk on his mobile phone. And again, slowly up the street until he finally hung up and focused on his driving. He did apologize for being on the phone. He said that he'd been having troubles with his son at school, 25 days into the school year, and he's already had detention 5 times. You know, I sympathize. I've got a 12-year-old son. But then I got to hear another 15 minutes on his disciplinary problems. And this is on a 25-minute ride to the airport. I mean, you know, it's a good thing I had, eventually I had to pull out the credit card and pay him, and they kept him occupied and gave me a couple minutes of peace on the ride into the airport. And this was after a bit of a sharing and caring session that I had with my seatmate on my flight down to St. Louis on Tuesday. You know, I heard about this guy's Christmas plans, his daughter's college choice, and the price of his sister's home in the Bay Area, and this is all just on the taxi out to the runway. Now this I can deal with. You can't do much until you get up in the air anyhow. But the guy kept chatting. And worse, he felt he had shared, and now it was my turn to share. And so he's probing me about, you know, what I do, where I live, where have I lived. He's looking to extract my whole life story. And this is after we've left the ground, and now I've begun to work. I mean, I'm desperately trying to write my presentation to the Missouri Society of CPAs that I had to deliver that afternoon. I am nothing if I'm not a just-in-time presenter. Of course, you know, you could say I'm guilty of the same thing here, rattling on about my own personal travel adventures on this podcast. But, you know, then again, you guys choose to listen, to subscribe, and you can turn me off at any moment. Fast forward me, shut me up, turn my volume down. But this guy, I mean, he wouldn't take the hint. Every time I looked up, trying to catch a thought, trying to think of something, anything to say that a room of CPAs might find even slightly humorous, this guy would take as a sign to restart our conversation. You know, the danger and the pain of chatty seatmates is legendary in sort of travel stories, almost to the point of redundancy. But, actually, the iPod has reduced this danger somewhat. You know, you see a lot of folks just walking onto the plane with their white earbuds in, removing them before takeoff, only when scolded by the flight attendant. And then once the flight attendants have strap themselves in, boom, back in the earbuds go, and they remain until the flight attendants come back round just before final approach, scolding people about shutting their iPods off. Putting in those earbuds after the conversation has already started, that seems a bit of a nuclear option to me, sort of an unambiguous shut up. Now, as frequent listeners know, I'm not the most gentle and sensitive guy. I mean, I don't grow and relate. I'm not gentle and sensitive. But even for me, shoving those earbuds in, or worse, sort of lighting up the Bose noise-canceling headphones while someone's talking, that goes a little bit too far. And before the talking starts, how can you tell the difference between a good talker and a bad talker? You know, how can you tell between, you know, somebody sitting next to you is going to be able to tell you a good story and somebody who's just going to ramble on? Somebody who might be, you know, a potential customer or business client versus somebody who's just a mope. Well, unless you're psychic, you can't. So instead, you've got to sort of compensate with speed, or deceit. But you need a plan, say, for when that cab driver you hope will give you some good local flavor turns into a guy who's just going to rant. You're kind of like the cab driver who took me from downtown Boston to Logan Airport on election day last November 2004. And I was staying at the Marriott Copley Plaza, which was like literally where John Kerry's campaign had erected the stage for his victory celebration. And I was looking just to get out of town before the crowd started to descend. I get in, the cab driver sort of starts off saying, "I look like a Republican." He sort of felt sorry for me that his man Kerry was carrying the day. And this kind of kept going on. And after about 10 minutes, when I realized this was not going to stop, I opened my cell phone and started playing with the settings so that the cell phone rang. You know how you kind of reset the ringtone. At which point, I acted like I was taking a call and then held the phone to my ear for the rest of the drive into Logan. Though actually, I did take it down from my ear while we were in the Ted Williams Tunnel, but only just to re-ring myself to cover the remaining 2 minutes of the ride into the terminal. The last topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, what do you mean, oops? I'll tell you, classic travel storytelling is starting to pick up some momentum here at Travel Commons. A couple of listeners offered their own travel stories in the comments section on the Travel Commons podcast number 14 posting on the Travel Commons website. Tim offered the first travel story. "My whole family was going to Seattle," he says, "but in order for all the tickets to be covered by frequent flyer miles, we had to take two different airlines. My mom and my sister went on Southwest, and me, my dad, my brother took Alaskan. Our flight was at 8:30, and my mom and my sister's was at 8:40 a.m., or so we thought. We were standing in line to check in to Alaskan Airlines, having dropped the girls off at the other terminal. I looked up on the board to see if our flight was on time. I said to my dad, 'It doesn't have our flight, just an 8:30 p.m. one.' He said, 'Must be a mistake.' But sure enough, when we looked at our papers more closely, we had tickets for the 8:30 p.m. flight. Of course, my mom and sister's flight was fine. We wound up leaving at 3:30 that afternoon." Tim's dad has some company. A couple days after Tim's post, somebody replied with their own story. "Hey, Tim, I can relate to that one," the anonymous poster said. "Heading out on a business flight, my husband dropped me off at an airport in West Palm Beach, Florida. I headed to the gate, ticket in hand. Then I realized to my complete surprise that my flight departed from Fort Lauderdale Airport about an hour south. A lesson in looking closer at tickets, I suppose. I managed to snag a flight, though, from West Palm Beach anyway, but you better believe that I've paid closer attention to my tickets ever since." You know, I usually can keep track of where I'm going and where I've been and what time I ought to be there, but not always on the things I need to bring. Like I said at the start of this podcast, I forgot my microphone this trip. Other times I've, forgotten a belt and had to go out, do some quick shopping. One of my last trips out to Tampa, I ended up forgetting a razor, though that's not a big problem. I mean, my hotel had boxes of them. It's just, you know, the only hassle was is actually having to dry off enough to put on some clothes. I didn't think they'd appreciate me sort of padding down the hallway and wrapped in a towel. However, one time when I was taking a family vacation, we were pulling out the luggage, pulling the luggage out of the limo at O'Hare, and this was for a trip out to London, a family trip out to London. My wife and I kind of looked and said, "Where's the red bag?" And sure enough, I mean, we looked in the trunk, although, you know, I mean, there was nothing in the trunk. We looked in the limo. Sure as hell, we were one bag short. The infamous red bag, and this was not a small bag either, and we were planning to be over in London for over a week. So it wasn't like we were missing the bag with the reading material. So I talked the limo driver into running me back home, and there, sitting forlornly in the foyer, was the missing red bag. Grabbed it, smacked it into the trunk. The limo driver raced me up the tollway. Luckily, it wasn't rush hour, and I was able to reconnect with the wife and kids just a few minutes before boarding. I think the moral to all of these stories is, you know, we just need to slow down just a little bit. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 16. I think this is a little bit shorter than the last couple, but I've got a car coming at 5:15 tomorrow morning to take me down to LaGuardia, and if I don't start getting some sleep, I am never going to shake this cold. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast, especially the new subscribers, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. And hey, I hope you like Alan. I hope you tell some of your friends about the Travel Commons podcast. I appreciate any comments directly to comments@travelcommons.com or on the travelcommons.com website or at the comment board of podcastalley.com. Again, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening, and have a good weekend. Take care. Bye now.